Well, it may not be January 1st anymore, but I think in the general sense of the words, we're still at the first of the year, which means that there is still hope that this year will be different. There is still hope that this year will be the one where you hit that weight goal you've been aiming for. This will be the year that you begin to work out regularly like you've been wanting to for a long time. This will be the year that you finally get organized. And this will be a year of significant spiritual growth. This is week 3 of our series, Growing Up. We're using these 4 weeks in January to encourage all of us to press into our spiritual journey this year as we seek to grow into adults, spiritually speaking. And we're also using these 4 weeks to map out what spiritual discipleship will look like at Dayspring in the years to come. And I say years because it will take years to fully embed itself into our church DNA. But in the history of our church, though we've had some great teaching, some fantastic Bible studies, engaging growth groups, and excellent service opportunities, the one thing we have never had was a strategic, unified discipleship process that goes across the board to the entire church. And now we do. And though it will take years to embed itself into our DNA, we won't have to wait years to see results. That's part of what's so exciting. By the end of this month, you will have some ideas about what's next for you on your spiritual journey. And as you press into the discovery process after that, those ideas will form into plans which will only spur you on to more growth. Because there is nothing, nothing more important than your spiritual growth. Nothing. Now, I say that in this room right now, and we're all good Christians, so who's going to argue with me? We know that's the right answer to give. We know it's the right answer, and yet, if I asked you to tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, where your spiritual journey ranks in importance when you look at the totality of your life, I doubt that any of us would be able to truthfully give 10 as an answer. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or bear your secret 5 out of 10 or 3 out of 10 or even an 8. That really isn't the point. What is the point is that we all know that this should be the most important pursuit of our lives, and yet we're not very good at keeping it at the top of our priority list. You know, I don't like to iron my shirts or mow my lawn. Actually, I don't mind mowing my lawn. I just hate the other stuff that goes with it, like weeding and that stuff. I hate that. But I don't like to do those things, so I outsource them. I take my shirts to the dry cleaner, and I hire someone to take care of my lawn. I made a deal with God long ago about those two things, and I haven't looked back. My shirts look better, and I don't have to do the work. My lawn looks better, and I don't have to do the work. Thank you, Jesus, that there are people I can afford who do those things for me. Like, wouldn't it be great if we could outsource our spiritual journey as well? I mean, that's why we have pastors, right? Okay, we know it doesn't work that way. In fact, when it comes to our spiritual journey, we can't outsource any part of it. I am completely responsible for me. You are completely responsible for you. But we can help each other. In fact, that's why God has placed us in community here at Dayspring together, so that we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, as the writer of Hebrews wrote. And as a church, we will do everything in our power to help you on your spiritual journey. We will use the best practices, the best way, so that you have every opportunity to become the very best love machine that God is calling you to become. And speaking of love, that's how we're defining spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is an increase in love of God and for others. Now, this is important for us to remember, so let's say it together. Spiritual growth is an increase in love of God and for others. It's really that simple. That's how Jesus put it when he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. The more we love, the more we become like Jesus. More love equals more power of God at work in our lives. Now, last week, Michelle taught us what looking like Jesus looks like. She outlined the target that we are aiming toward, so to speak. On this journey, though we'll never arrive at the destination while we breathe life, if we are becoming like Jesus, there are characteristics that will be evident in or true of our lives. But before we go any further, we should probably make note of something just to make sure that there's no misunderstandings. When we come to Christ, we are saved by faith and faith alone. Jesus is enough. Remember Galatians, Jesus, period. He's done all of the work so that we can stand justified before God the Father. God sees us as holy through the blood of Jesus. But we know that we really aren't all that holy. In fact, the prophet Isaiah says that even our righteousness, even the very best that we have to offer, is like filthy rags. And not to be gross or anything, but what he means is a woman's menstrual rags. So, though we are justified through Jesus and we never have to worry about that, losing that, we begin the journey of becoming like Jesus. But we can't even do that. We can't even become like Jesus on our own. Even that is powered through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And his work is activated in our daily living in faith. In that sense, we are much like the Apostle Paul, who started out on his journey the same way that we did. Maybe without the, we didn't have the blindness or, you know, the bright light, but other than that, he put it this way in Philippians chapter 3. You can go ahead and turn there in your Bibles if you want to, or it will be on the screens. I'm going to pick it up at the end of verse 3 of Philippians chapter 3. We put no confidence in human effort. Now, that's his way of saying that we aren't smart enough or strong enough or disciplined enough to become like Jesus on our own. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence, that's Paul, not Chris, by the way. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own eyes and their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul was as righteous in his own power as a person can get. He had all of the right training. He was at the top of his class, respected by everyone. He had all the right power. He had all of the right discipline. If there was ever anyone set up to be righteous in their own power, it was Paul. And he once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I'm pretty sure that Paul was a 10 when it came to the priority of his pursuit to become like Jesus. For his sake, that's Christ's sake, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, and catch this next sentence, rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Faith activates the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us become like Jesus. And in these next two verses, that's what Paul describes as his goal. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. He wants to become like Jesus, just like us. Maybe a little more than us if he's a 10 on the priority meter. But even though he's a 10, he still hasn't arrived. Verse 12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. The NIV uses the word obtained. Not that I've already obtained righteousness. Not that they have already achieved righteousness or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Now, this might not be as obvious as the passage in 1 Corinthians 9 where Paul tells us that he beats his body and makes it his slave, but hopefully we can see that even though the Holy Spirit is the power, he's the power behind the work we choose to do to become like Jesus. He takes our work and makes it mean something. We aren't on this journey alone. Paul continues, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Let's all agree that we haven't already obtained righteousness. Let's all agree that we need the Holy Spirit to be a part of the process. Let's all agree that there may be some blood, sweat, and tears. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. The progress that we have already made. So if none of us has already obtained righteousness, then what have we already attained? If we've been on our spiritual journey for any length of time, we may not be what we will become yet, but we also aren't what we were anymore. So where are we? In 2004, the leaders of Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago area began wrestling with the question, is our church really helping people to become devoted followers of Christ, or are we just giving them a nice place to go to church? Basically, is what we're doing translating into results? Is it working? Are people growing spiritually? They didn't begin this part of their journey because anything seemed wrong on the surface. At the time, they were growing in numbers and had high levels of people actively involved in the ministries of the church. But the leaders just wanted to know if they were wisely stewarding the resources that God had entrusted them. So they began a journey of discovery, using innovative research tools that correlate behaviors, attitudes, and beliefs. And they made some startling discoveries. And those discoveries changed the way they thought about church and the church's involvement in spiritual growth. Over the next 6 years, they invited 1,000 churches, including Dayspring. We participated. They invited 1,000 churches to participate in this discovery process. More than 250,000 people from every church size, denomination, and geographic location chose to participate. And out of all of the data, this book, Move, was birthed out of the results from those churches, as well as with interviews from the churches they found that were thriving. Believe it or not, as subjective as spiritual growth seems to be, As unique as each one of us is, there is still a certain amount of predictability and commonality in every one of our journeys. MOVE was written to help churches leverage that predictability and commonality in their quest to help people grow. And this book has become the foundation for our new discipleship process. We chose it because it isn't someone's opinion about what helps people grow. Its data is found in looking at what 250,000 people said helped them grow. That's not the kind of book that most people would want to read. It's filled with charts and graphs and numbers, the kinds of things that you only want to read before bed if you need help falling asleep. So all of the pastors and elders read it for you. And then we turned it into something that we can use here at Dayspring to help us grow. And that's what I'm going to unpack for us today and next week. You'll find the first piece in your message notes today. So why don't you go ahead and flip to it. It's the nice, pretty, colorful side. If you came here this morning thinking that you'd let your spouse take notes for you, but now you'd like to have a better look, you can raise your hand and an usher will bring you one that you can look at on your own. The print is small enough that you might have trouble seeing if you're trying to share with someone. And we'll turn up the lights a little bit so that that won't be a problem. This is important. This is the piece that will help you figure out where you are right now. Now, I know that some of you have already glanced at it and might be ahead of the game, but let's walk through this together. First of all, what the data from all of those people and all of those churches reveals is that the spiritual journey is one continuous journey. Makes sense. It isn't a journey that follows a linear or straight line. It is a complex process as unique as each individual. And it progresses at a pace that is determined by each of our circumstances, the activity of the Holy Spirit, and our willingness to actively participate or grow. In spite of that complexity, there also seems to be a simplicity in the general progression. In general, spiritual growth progresses across a continuum of four segments or four stages, moving from those who are exploring Christ, which you see on the left side of your sheet, to growing in Christ, close to Christ, and finally on the right side, Christ-centered. So even though we are all on a beautifully complex and unique journey, once we choose to follow Jesus, there are three stages of increasing spiritual maturity toward spiritual adulthood. But don't let the data fool you. While this is the general pattern, there will always be an enormous spirit-led component that is tailor-made to every one of us. But let's start on the right side, the Christ-centered panel. Now, last week, Michelle outlined the characteristics of a spiritual adult. All of those are listed in the Christ-centered panel. The wording might be a little different than it was last week because we've continued to wordsmith since then, but this is what we are moving toward. Take a moment and read through those eight characteristics to remind yourself. If you weren't here last week and these are new to you today, you might want to listen to last week's message on our podcast. Michelle unpacked each one a little bit more for us. So take 60 seconds to scan through them. Now, of course, there are more characteristics of a spiritually mature adult than just these eight. We didn't include things like humility, wisdom, and discernment, for example. But we wanted to paint enough of the target that you could look and see where you might need to grow. Now, from there, we can work our way backwards to the close to Christ panel, and then from there into the growing in Christ panel. Now, here's where I think this can be really helpful for you. Start with the first bullet in the Christ-centered panel on the right side. The first bullet says, takes personal responsibility for all facets of spiritual and emotional health and development. Takes personal responsibility for all facets of spiritual and emotional health and development. Now, is this completely true of you? A person who takes personal responsibility doesn't need someone to hold them accountable to continual growth. Though they might have accountability as a matter of wisdom, they are on it even without the accountability. If this is true of you, when you get to a place where you are stuck, you solve the problem so that you can get unstuck. You don't allow yourself to stay stuck. You don't need someone else to feed you. You are preparing your own spiritual meals. And when you don't feel particularly motivated, you have the discipline to do it anyway. A spiritual adult is also an emotional adult. They've dealt with the baggage of their past, and it no longer holds them back or in bondage. In fact, they've begun to use it for the glory of God. Now, if it helps you to compare your zeal for growth, the Apostle Paul's zeal for growth, for a frame of reference, then do it. But as a basic rule, be careful about comparing yourself to anyone else. Looks can be deceiving. You never know what's going on inside of someone else. And you are on your own spiritual journey. It's okay that it looks different from someone else's. My journey looks different than Dee Dee's journey, even though we're married. Now, if the Christ-centered column isn't completely true of you, then move to the left, to the close to Christ panel, and compare yourself to that bullet point. And again, if that statement isn't true of you, move left one more time to the growing in Christ panel. Circle the bullet in whatever column is the most true of you. And then on your own this week, do the same thing for each of the bullet points. By the time you are done, you're going to have a general picture of where you are right now and some idea of what you need to work on to grow. You'll probably have circled some bullet points in multiple columns. That's okay. We're just trying to get a general picture at this point. If you don't understand what something means, then that bullet isn't true for you in that column. In no way should you feel bad or guilty or ashamed as you figure out where you are. Besides the fact that none of that is helpful on your journey, none of that comes from God. You might feel some conviction. Conviction is good. It comes from the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Pay attention to conviction. It gives you clues as to what God might want you to do next on your journey. Now, so far, we've pretty much ignored the far left column. The Exploring Christ segment is made up of people who have not yet surrendered their life to Jesus. And as the title indicates, at this point, they're just exploring the claims of Christianity, trying to figure out what this Jesus is all about. They haven't committed yet. Some of you here today are in the Exploring Christ segment, and that's okay. We love that you've chosen to explore Jesus here at Dayspring. And we want to do everything that we can to help you figure this one out. It's the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. And maybe the most important question you could ask yourself this morning is, what's holding you back? The answer to that question is your key to unlocking your future with Jesus. Not just while you are a living, breathing human being, but for all of eternity. Now, as I've said, this chart is designed to give you a general picture of the progress that you've made on your journey, as well as give you a general sense of what you need to do next. I believe that the Holy Spirit is at work right now, and I think most of you have some idea of what that next step might be. And I just write that next step down in the notes so that you don't forget it later. Lunch will come, and then your nap, and it'll be out of your mind. So write it down. Next week, we're going to look at what kinds of things help you take that next step. There are 25 catalysts that help people move from one segment to the next. Bible reading, reflection, or meditation and study are the catalysts that apply across the board. But except for that, not all catalysts are created equal. Some are more helpful in the earlier stages of your spiritual journey, and some are more helpful in the later stages of your spiritual journey. We're going to look at those next week. The graphic isn't complete today. There's one more layer that we'll add to it next week. But I also want to introduce you to another tool that we have to help you narrow your focus in determining where your next steps toward growth should be. All of the bullet points on this page are generalities, and they can certainly be helpful to a point. However, wouldn't it be helpful to have a tool that could give you a more specific picture of your journey and help you develop a plan for your growth rather than just approaching it haphazardly? Who wouldn't want to know where they are on their spiritual journey right now? So with that in mind, we have just the tool for you. When we started this sermon series on January 5th, we told you that we were revamping our Explore classes and we were raising the bar with how we approached helping you on your spiritual journey. So in our Explore series, we have four classes. Let's call them 101, 201, 301, and 401 for today. 101 is all about discovering who we are as a church family at Dayspring. 201 is about discovering spiritual maturity. That's what we're talking about today. 301 is discovering your ministry, and 401 is discovering your life mission. Now, as a part of the newly revamped 201, the spiritual journey, the spiritual maturity class, we are using an assessment developed to help people take a snapshot of where they are on their journey right now and plot a course for the next steps. We want every Dayspringer to take that assessment. Every Dayspringer. Yes, that means you. I know that gets the hackles up for some of you, and that's okay with me. I don't care about your hackles. I care about your growth. And if that describes you right now, then I'd ask you to pray about why your hackles are raised. There's more to it than you don't like being told what to do. Like the Apostle Paul, if you don't agree, I'm content with letting the Holy Spirit do his work in you. But who wouldn't want to know where they are and what's next? That means we want every Dayspringer to take the 201 class, even if you've already taken it in one of its older versions. This is an investment in your growth. Put your money where your mouth is when it comes to owning your own journey. And good news, you don't even have to put your money anywhere to take 201. We'll provide the assessment free of charge for you the first time that you take it. At some point in the future, you may want to take it again to see how far you've grown since 2020 and determine what's next for you at that time. It's that kind of an assessment. It will be helpful for years. And yes, you could buy the assessment on Amazon and take it on your own. But that would cost you around 10 bucks, and you would miss the point of doing it in community. So don't do that, please. When we introduced this topic 3 weeks ago, I told you that we were committed to using the very best practices, the very best way to help you on your spiritual journey, and this assessment is one of those best practices. But to do it the best way means that we will only do it in small group settings of about 10 to 12 people at a time, which means that it's probably going to take us the rest of the year to get everyone through it. In the meantime, you still have this general outline to help you figure out where you are. And by the end of next Sunday, you'll have the best catalysts that will help you move from one segment to the next. But before we move on, let me also say this. If you are a member of Dayspring, and let me be crystal clear on this one, to be a member, you have to have signed the membership covenant, which we have on file so we can check for you. If you are a member, you can skip 101 and go straight to 201. If you are not yet a member, then congratulations. The best tool, the best way means that you get to start at 101. And after the service, you can head to the table in the lobby to sign up for both 101 and 201. We have a variety of times and dates to match your schedule. Carol Ann will also be there to answer any questions that you might have. By the way, all of the pastors, elders, and staff, as well as a couple of focus groups, have taken the assessment ourselves already. All of us were personally challenged in some way as we looked at where we were and what was next. So engage in this process. There is nothing more important than your spiritual journey. Now, we ended in Philippians 3 at verse 16. In the very next verse, Paul says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. Learn from those who follow our example." If Paul were at Dayspring today, he would be the first one to sign up for 201. I guess unless he was at the second service, then other people would have. But he would have been the first one, I promise you that. He would use every tool at his disposal to run the race well. Will you? Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful that on this journey that you've placed us on, that you don't leave us alone to figure it out on our own, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to call us deeper and deeper with you and as we walk faithfully in obedience. And Father, I pray that everything that's holding us back, would just fall away. And we would pursue you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do what you need to do in our lives to make that true of us. Now, in this room today, I'm sure that there are some people who are in the exploring Christ category. You're here and you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength yet. What's holding you back? Let today be the day that you meet Jesus in a new way and let him take control of your life. If that describes you, I would love to talk with you after the service and help you make that decision. Pray with you. Father, do your perfect work in us. In Jesus' name we pray.